House Education Committee will come to order. Secretary, call roll.
Representative Seaton.
Here.
Representative Feige. Representative Grove.
Here.
Representative Sisna.
Here.
Representative Kawasaki. Representative Wilson.
Here.
I'm here, and then for the record, it's 9:22 on today's today. March 28th, 2011. Okay, we've been excited. We're waiting. Let it roll. For the record, identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Thank you very much for this opportunity, for asking for a presentation. There are a number of advancements that have been made in technology, and specifically digital technology. And though it seems complicated to people like us, it's not very complicated to young people. They are digital natives. It's in their DNA. They can really track this stuff. But I will share with you now that it's becoming, the issue is one of simplicity and availability and access. We want to do a demonstration today on an iPad. Just think of an iPad as an apps browser, and the availability of content for instructional use through iTunes University and other sources. It's a library of apps that are all in one place. It's a repository where you can get information specifically for teachers in this case, to expand the actual content and the depth by which they can actually pursue instruction, and the ability to get that information before kids and have a very relevant experience is very exciting. And so we enjoy this opportunity. I'm not going to take much more time other than to say I'm going to turn this over to Bob Wicker. He is the director of the Consortium for Digital Learning at AASB. We have been moving fast in the last 2 weeks last 3 weeks since Bob has been here. And I want to just thank you for this opportunity, and I'll turn it over to Bob, and he'll run the show. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Carl. Chairman Dick, I think coming to the Consortium for Digital Learning, is a great opportunity for me. But it's because we have such a great opportunity in our state. We're going to go through kind of a day today with these iPads. But what we've learned through the consortium, through implementation of one-to-one laptop programs throughout these last years, is that it's more than just the hardware. It's bringing that all together in a manner where schools are ready for it. They've got a plan for it. There's support for the technical issues, and there's also support for teachers in learning how to teach with this. The thing with what we're going to see today is as far as going through the applications that are on the iPads, it's pretty easy. I mean, you're gonna get it. I mean, it's gonna take a little bit of time to get kind of oriented to the iPad, just as far as navigation goes. But once you get that, you've pretty well got that. I think the context is, though, it's kind of to keep current. We have to be moving, and we've got to be doing something in our schools that's different from what we've done before. And I've got a little movie here for you to look at. We've put this together to kind of emphasize that and create the context of where we're going. So I guess the title of this would be What Could Be.
With the modern tools of education, school can become an exciting adventure. Sometimes all a school needs is a little facelifting. Here's the old. And here is the new miracle of modern posture seating.
We should be able to put a computer, laptop, an iPad, notepad, netbook, any kind of technology device in kids' hands.
With the processes of learning speeded up to meet the many complexities of modern life.
Young people develop grouper skills, collaborative skills, working in teams.
A trip to far-flung corners of the earth.
In order for this economy to survive, we need the next generation of job creators. And if we don't do it, I got news for you. China's going to do it. India's going to do it. So we have to stay competitive.
The future of our national welfare depends upon the product of today's classroom. And that's our future.
We stand at the precipice of exponential change.
facing cultural, economic, and social challenges the like we've never seen. For the first time in our history, we cannot describe what the future will look like for our children. The best way for us to help our kids navigate into this uncertain future is to give them a relevant educational experience. Technology is the only viable option. Who would have thought eBay? Who would have thought Facebook? Google actually intimidates the Chinese government. It's not test scores that will determine our success. It'll be the creativity, the ingenuity to create things that people had not considered yet. And if it has value, you have the entire global marketplace to sell your wares. That is huge. By the use of technology, it's changed the way we campaign. It's changed the political makeup of our nation. It's changing our society. It's happening now. The pencil and paper of the future is digital. The ability to locate, access, validate information, and use it to produce new understanding is the whole idea behind digital learning. You can have the Library of Congress at your fingertips. The Consortium for Digital Learning represents a statewide opportunity. We've been doing this since 2006. We have encountered challenges that never occurred to us before we started. This is part of our intellectual capital that we bring to the table. So I think when we say we sit at the precipice of exponential change, it's all around us, all around us. In a way, what I'm doing right now is trying to provide you with a new reality, what could be.
So things have been happening fast, and you know, just a few years ago, we were talking about laptops in schools only. And now we're talking about all different kinds of devices, from the mobile devices, handhelds, to things like we're going to be working on today in tablets, to laptops that are changing form. And that's what the consortium is there for our schools, is to help to them to implement those things, no matter what it is, no matter what platform, whatever. Okay, to make that work. Okay, so let's dive into this, and I'm going to pass out some iPads. I think there's one for everyone today. Here we go. And we've got some earbuds for you here. And on these earbuds, there's a right and a left ear. The right ear had a little bump on it, and that's the mic. So we'll see why that mic's important later. But you'll want to make sure to take your earbuds and really put them in well, or everybody else will hear where you're at. We'll get into these apps. Let's go up. Orientation on the iPad. On the top, you have like a power switch, little black power switch. Well, yeah. Let's talk about top and bottom.
Excuse me. Do we have an extra one?
With an iPad, there's really no top and bottom.
Do we have an extra one?
Yes, we've got one more.
Yeah. I wonder if Pat would want. We want to plug Pat in. He's gonna.
Pat.
There we go. Only if we have an extra.
Yep, I do. And actually, here's one for Representative Meyer, for Senator Meyer. On the top, there's a black button here. That's just to kind of put it to sleep if you want to. There's your earbud is on the top. That's the one you want to really stick in there. On the side over here is volume control. So there's a little toggle there. Okay. And the most important button on this is your home button. And the home button is on the screen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is your home button. It'll say slide to unlock, and that'll get you to a screen, and it should be on a home screen that's got some apps. If it opens to somewhere else, just press the button again, and then it'll come to the home screen. This also, you go clear to the left with the slide, you'll wind up on this screen with the mm-hmm. keyboard. That's clear to the left, so if you swipe to the left, you'll get your keyboard, and you can search there. So there's like two screens of apps here, and we're gonna be working off of the first screen, okay? And I'm gonna go over here to my laptop and put this up on a projector so that the audience can see what's going on. Okay, and go full screen. Okay, there we go. Where's my cord at? Which cord is that? There we go. So I'm working off this little dock cam right here. You know, fits in your pocket. It costs like $50. So, and we're just going to go through kind of a smattering of apps going from elementary grade to high school, and then take a look at some things that you could possibly do even, you know, in things like career tech or that kind of instance. Let's go to one that I think is pretty powerful. And by the way, that when I'm demoing these apps, I'm not recommending them. I'm just saying this is kind of what's out there and where things are happening and where things are going. Okay, so up on the third row, there's a little icon there that says bike ride. So let's go to bike ride. And bike ride is an app that's a storybook, and it's fully animated. Okay, and you can swipe your finger across the screen to the left, and it'll make you, it'll start the book going. And up in the right corner, there's a green arrow right here. And if I play that, then the book will start reading to you, and it's going to highlight the words as it goes. Let's see if I can get this speaker. Where's my speaker? Maybe I can get it so that the audience can hear this too. We'll try it.
Thomas, Millie, and Molly.
There we go.
And off today's
okay. So the book will read itself to you, okay? But let's say I want a student to read this, right? So in the top right there, you have a microphone. And if you hit the microphone, it's going to ask you whether you want to start recording. So I can start recording, and then in 3, 2, 1 countdown. Okay, to begin with, it was easy, and then I stop by touching any part of the screen, and then when it comes back,
to begin with, it was easy.
Okay, so it's going to let that student read the book in, right? One thing we found with these type of mobile devices is that it enables students to self-assess their work. So if a student reads this book into the app and then they listen to it back to themselves, if they make a mistake, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to delete it and do it again, right? And they're going to keep doing that over and over and over until they get it right, because that's what kids want to do. They want to get things right. Okay, so that allows them to read the whole book if they want to. But let's go over to the top left, and there's a U.S. flag there. Go ahead and tap that U.S. flag, and then it gives you a different choice between different languages. So in this case, Italian. And once I press Italian, then it's going to give me those Italian words, and then read those. Okay, and if I want to switch to see what it sounds like in Chinese.
Okay,
So if I have students who are learning a foreign language and they want to record this book in, they can go ahead and record it in, listen to themselves, go back and listen to the other foreign or the other reader to assess where they are. Okay, Millie and Molly cost $5, I think, and there's like 18 books that you could buy. Okay, so that's an example of kind of where things are going as far as publishers go. Okay, and that would be an elementary type of an app. Let's go. You know, I'm hesitant to go to Chictionary next because I know once you get started, you won't quit. So let's go to Pop Math. Pop Math is the third one over on the third row, and just go there. Now, the reason that comes up smaller is that this app is made for an iPhone. Oh, again, if you need to get back to home screen, make sure you press the home button. Okay? Home button.
Right there. Okay.
There we go. Everybody there? Home?
Yeah, is that the one?
Okay, we're going to go to Pop Math then. And this is an iPhone app, so it comes in smaller, but there's a little button down at the bottom right. It's a 2X button, and that'll let you go on and see the whole screen. And we just go to level one, and we're going to have a bunch of balloons going around, and you're going to match the equation. Okay? So go to level one. There you go. And now you're just going to pop balloons by matching the equations.
Would you touch them both same time?
No, just one after another. There we go.
Okay.
Got it. This game I played on the airplane, there's like, and I'm not bragging, but I got to like 90, level 90. And it's multiplication and division and all of them together, and it just keeps getting harder and harder. Do you think a kid would play this? Yeah. Yeah, kids will play this, let me tell you. Okay? Okay, that's enough. That's enough Pop Math. Can't stay in there. We've got a lot to do here, and class is short today. So let's go to number line right next to it. So press your home screen again, or home button. And then go to number line. There you go. And just go ahead and play it. Number line right there. Yep. And this one you got to turn. Yep.
Okay.
And just go ahead and play. Number line's a great app. It's a free app because the governor of Virginia put out a challenge to app developers to come up with an educational app for the projects they have going on there. So we'll play it. And as we play it, again, it keeps track of what you're doing and what your score is. All these numbers fly in, fractions, decimals, etc. And then we're going to bring those bubbles down to the number line and put them into the correct order. And if I put one in the wrong order, it tells me it's wrong by turning red. Oop. Oop. Oh. I can't get that one to go. Where is that one?
No, it goes left. There you go.
There. Okay.
How do I know when I did it right?
Well,
it should pull me.
It should go green on you.
Well, that's right. That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's right. There must be one more number somewhere. There he is. That guy isn't on. There.
Okay. Well, I got it right.
You did. Congratulations. That was a good one. Okay. It was going to be right whether you got it right or not. So let's go back to home button. Okay, that's number line. You can kind of see how that goes. Let's go to, we'll go to Chictionary. Let's go there. Now this one, though, I'm going to put a time limit on this game. All right.
Which one?
Chictionary.
This is about chickens. Okay? Right there. Okay? And this, again, is an iPhone app. So we're going to have to make it bigger. And it kind of plays some music. And then let's play it. And let's, so play Chictionary is at the top. Right there, play. And now we're going to go play. And let's do long play to take the pressure off. Okay? And we'll do long play. And now we're going to, whatever, 8 words, 13, whatever you want to do. Okay? And now we're going to drag these letters down into that box down below, or just tap them, and there they go. And then we enter, and we're going to make words with those words up there with the egg cartons. Okay? Uh-oh.
Right now?
You just tap them. Somebody said rain. This is what happens on the airplane, too.
How do you go back?
Yeah.
How do you go back?
So you just throw them up there, yep. Throw them up there. Yep. There you go.
How come it isn't?
You're just too rough. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then scroll left, because we're not going to play the whole game. You can't play the game. But on the top there, you've got all of those possibilities. So if you give this to a student, they want to fill in all the eggs. Okay, and they'll keep going. Because you got all of those to do.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. This again is another great game for the airplane. Okay? And the people sitting next to you will give you all kinds of suggestions. Yeah. Okay, so you can press the home button again. We gotta quit playing Chictionary. You gotta quit. Quit. Okay, and let's go out and we'll go back to home screen again. How much time do we have? Let's go down to where publishers are headed with digital text. Okay? So this bottom right, the one with the XE on it, let's go there. This is the Elements. Whoops. And this is the periodic table. But what they've done with the Elements is they've made it into a textbook. So let's go to the top in the search bar. Let's go to the search bar. Right up there. Go back to your home screen. So go back to, and there you go. Start over. And go up to the search bar and type in carbon.
Come on.
And as you're typing in carbon,
I was listening to the song. Sorry.
yep. I know. Okay, you guys are multitasking. There's a new name for that. It's called continual partial attention. that's what you're doing. So, and that's okay, because research says that's the way we learn anyway. Okay, so just put in carbon.
Okay, I typed in carbon, but What did you know?
Elements should have been dropping out, right, mm-hmm. of your table, and leaving the ones that have carbon in them.
Okay.
So now go and tap element 79. My favorite element is gold. Okay? Well, let's go to gold. And once I go to gold, then you should see a representation of gold.
Carbon's an element.
There's two ways to look at different representations here, and that button down in your bottom right has those two representations. So if you want to see another representation, there it is. And this tells you all of the stuff that you'd want to know from a periodic table, right? It tells you your melting point, your density, and then the electrons and the valences and all of that kind of stuff. But if I go to the next screen where I have these representations, now this screen... So then I've got all of these different representations there, and they're all 3D, and they spin around, and you can look at them closer. If I double tap that, then it's going to pop out for me, and I've got that same option again,
to be looking at that piece. And if I bought a $4 set of 3D glasses and put those on, then I could go to 3D and it would pop off the screen for me. And I could be moving it around in air. Okay? So.
3D, which one is that now?
The Elements has about 200 pages of text also, and all that text is linked out to another site. So you have basically a digital textbook here. Okay? Now, I've got a little movie of a kid that's got a regular textbook who has had the Elements in his hands, and he goes to his regular textbook and is tapping pictures trying to get them to double-click, and it doesn't work. And so that kind of shows you how fast students, how fast kids change their expectations. Right? Okay, so that's the Elements. So let's go back to our home screen again. I'll kind of show you a practical one. We won't demo this, but I want you to see it. There's the one that says SoundNote. It's a tablet. Let's go there.
I want to get a history.
So SoundNote is basically a way to take notes, but it records at the same time. So that if I was doing some kind of a lecture or whatever, and you wanted to record me talking, you could be recording my words and then typing along and taking notes.
Wow.
Okay. What that does, though, is it kind of changes the way you take notes. So if you're an auditory person, and I'm kind of auditory, rather than take notes about the lecture, I would take timestamps. I would say two minutes is important. Okay, and at 3:30, listen. Okay, because once I do that and I make that note in there, if I tap that note, it takes me to that place in the recording. Okay, so if I'm saying great summary, and then I can tap that, and it takes me to the end of the recording. Okay, so this is a great thing for high school kids who are taking notes and they're trying to keep track of that. Actually, in higher ed, where some of the institutions are recording professors' lectures and putting them up on the web even before the kids walk out of the classroom, that's how they take notes now, too. They take notes by taking timestamps. Okay, so let's go to kind of a specialty one, but I think it's so impressive we need to go there. So here's a way to have a music program if you don't have a music program. So let's go to GarageBand. Okay? And in GarageBand, it's a program to make music, right? And also to record audio. But once you come here, there's all kinds of instruments. There's a guitar amp and an audio recording and smart drums and let's go to a smart guitar. Okay, smart guitar.
Where do you find it?
Now, I don't play a guitar. But here, I suddenly can play chords without making a mistake. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. But anyway, there it is. Okay? And we've got drums, so kids, there's no reason for a student to ever take copyrighted music again. Okay, they can make their own music very, very quickly, right? Okay, so that's just a little demo. One more thing with that audio recorder in GarageBand. Now I'm going to jump out of this because I want you to see some things. Here's where we can go with this, all right? This is a school district I worked with here for the last four years or so. And if you look on the screen here, you'll see that with this, in this school district, they did an iPod Touch, not an iPad, but an iPod Touch for every third grader, and then they had a fourth and fifth grade pilot. And this graph is kind of hard to see, but right now, green is good here, okay? Red is not so good. Yellow is not so good. Red is not where we want to live, right? And on the top, in reading, we have iPod Touch classrooms. So those kids all had an iPod Touch. And all they did in this migrant program was record audio
took the same papers that they had, read them in, they would listen to it. If it wasn't right, they deleted it and did it again. If it wasn't right, they kept doing it until it got to a place where they wanted to turn it in, and that was their workflow. And their comparison to the rest of the kids in the Kandy School District is that, okay? So that was for migrant ed and for LEP kids, limited English. The math is even more impressive, I think. They took 20 apps, and they put it on their iPod Touches, the same apps that you just did, Number Line, all of those, Pop Math, whatever. And all they did is they had kids recapturing minutes. So when it was time to line up for recess, and some of them got done early, they would have their iPod Touch on their desk, and they just do math. And that's what they said. We just play math. And they'd play math whenever they could. Okay? There was no program for that. Teacher did not track it. They didn't know what was going on. Okay, the kids, there were no set apps. The kids just did what apps they liked. So some kids like this app, others like that app. And you can see the difference with their math there. Okay? Green, good. Red, bad. Okay? Well, look what it did with the students with disabilities. Even more dramatic. Okay? Because they got to differentiate their own learning. And they owned their learning. Right? And it was all identified to standards. They said this app does the standards. And guess what? Everybody else benefited too. Okay. So a rising tide raises all boats. This was the rising tide. We could go on for a long time with this, but I'm afraid I'm almost out of time.
Now you got 8 more minutes.
Eight more? Going. Okay, well, let's go do something else. Let's go to the next page over. Okay, so slide to the left on your iPad. Okay, and there should be one there called Sign for Me. Let's go look at Sign for Me.
Wait. Okay.
Sign for Me. Okay, and Sign for Me is an app that would teach you sign language or help you to communicate. So up in the top it says type here to see me sign. Let's go up there and let's just type in the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Go to H and then it won't autofill on you. And when you're done, say done. Then John here or whatever his name is starts to sign the letters back to you. If you want to zoom in on his hand and look and see exactly what he's doing, you can zoom in. You can bring it back. If you want to see if he has gum on his shoe, you can turn him up. And see if he has gum on his shoe.
Wait, how do you
if
do
you're
that?
If you're a kindergarten student, you're going to be looking at him at a different angle, right?
Oh my gosh.
Right? So if you type in a sentence there, if you go back up to the top and delete those letters out, you could say...
Amazing.
And it'll even ask you definitions. If there's two types of definitions here, which versions of cool did you mean? I mean neat. I can speed him up, I can slow him down. Okay? So people who need to communicate to someone who needs sign language, this is not and they don't know sign language, this is a way to do that too.
How do you speed him up?
I think you tap the screen and then there's a rabbit and a turtle. Now each app stands alone. So these are all from third party developers. The prices are different. And I could tell you some of them. I don't know the prices on all of them. I know this one is like a $10 app, but you're not going to need this one all the time. Okay, you're going to need this once in a while. Number Line is free, like I said. Pop Math is 99 cents. Bike Ride was like $5. Chictionary is $1.99. So schools have to figure out kind of what they want and what they need. Okay.
We'll get the Constitution one for West Kellerville.
Oh, yeah, go and take a look at the Constitution. I'm going to try to set up to show you my last quiz bang thing. Okay.
Constitution?
Far right.
Yeah, there's one on the I actually have it on my iPhone, so.
Yeah. And we'll chip in and get that for West Keller.
Yep, there's about 10 apps that give you different types of things you can do with those. So this app just came out. It's kind of and you don't have it. We'll see if I can get it to show up.
Which one was that?
Well, the one that you don't have.
That, what's it called?
It's called WordLens. And we'll see if we can get it to go here. Okay. So WordLens is very cutting edge, and it's basically what I'm doing is I'm going to be holding this over some print material. This is English text that I'm holding it over. Okay? And I've got to kind of get it to the... I've got it in the wrong orientation here. Hold on, Steve.
There you go. There.
Turn it.
Okay. There we go. So what I'm doing... So I just took a picture of this text. It's a report that we're going to give you to kind of sum up the CDL, okay? But this text is in English. What it just did is it took a picture. Before it took the picture, it was turning the English text into Spanish. And then it took the picture, and now each one of these words can be translated by touching on the word. And if you want to see the English to Spanish conversion, there's what that looks like. Okay?
Amazing.
So that is on the fly. That, for each language, it's a $9.99 app. Okay? And right now they only have Spanish, but they're working on Italian and other things. Okay? Down and dirty.
What a wonderful thing for teachers.
So... I'm sorry?
What a wonderful thing for teachers.
Yeah. Well, our vision, too, is that you have to see that it's a great thing for teachers, but it's a great thing to have in students' hands. And when you get these things in students' hands, when they can have access whenever they need it, then you get to the point where your work can be organized at. And several of our districts here in the state are heading this direction also. We've been working with laptops mainly. Now, let's say for Kodiak Island here, I'm not sure, but they are moving into iPads and moving into the mobile devices. It's kind of a new game, right? Something different that we didn't have a couple of years ago.
New York subway maps.
I would love to ask a question here. Mm-hmm. To me, Mr. Chair, through the chair, to me, one of the things that's really key here is you buy these. I don't know how much they cost. How hard are they to maintain? Mm-hmm. How easy is it to replace them? Because what I've seen in communities around the state are schools filled with former technology, mm-hmm. just filled.
Right.
No place to put it.
Well, that's some of the things that we've learned through CDL, and now research is actually kind of confirming what we've learned is that it's a larger picture. It's not just buying stuff and putting it in schools,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
So there's got to be a whole plan of logistics, of keeping track of it, of policies, of how students use them, and what is on them, of refresh cycles so that we don't wind up with 10-year-old obsolete technology that no one uses and we keep pumping money into it. You know, in the 90s, billions of dollars was spent on technology and quite frankly, we didn't get a whole heck of a lot out of it. And that's because we separated ourselves from the research also. Because all the research was is that you needed the technology to relate to what was being taught at the moment. And we always marched kids down to labs and put them down there, sometimes not even with a teacher. And they went and they got plugged in. And then they walked back and there was no connection.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, Mr. Chair, follow up.
I'm doing bubble math. Don't bother me.
We're still playing with this. We're getting enticed into this. I think it's a great idea. How do we put it out there and have it sustainable?
Here's my personal thing. I think is that the district has to figure out what learning goal they have. So Candy went with mobile devices that were $200 a piece. Okay. And they were basically going for fluency. That was pretty much well it. Well, that's not a bad thing to get. I mean, if you can get those graphs for that kind of investment, that's not a bad thing. Their management cycle is pretty much on the teachers. So because the technology is getting simpler, I mean, there are no moving parts with these things. Okay, there's nothing to break except the glass. And that means if I throw it against the wall, we'll see what happens. I mean, we're not going to do that here, but that could be an issue. So these machines are $500 around, okay? And we were talking about how many dollars would you need to put apps on here? I was in a school in North Carolina. They did 1,800 iPods for a high school. And they had 100 apps on their iPod touches, and all of them were free. Now, those free apps are limited in function, okay? So, but they serve the purpose for them, right? I would say, Canby. I know they do about $100 a teacher per technology, you know, supplies, apps, whatever they want, okay? But they let the teachers put what they want on there. So that's kind of some money issues. The repair, I mean, what we've seen in our laptop implementation is that repair and damage is pretty much relational to the engaging content that is happening in the school and also the policies that they have. If the content's not very engaging, then the damages and repairs go up. Okay, and if you don't have a good policy drafted where people really pay attention to that, then you can see some things happen that you wouldn't want to happen. But really, it's less. Even the state of Maine, which has done 100,000 laptops, they've got about less than a 5% damage rate and a 2 or 3% two or 3% replacement rate. So.
Mr. Chair, I still have a question here. Mm-hmm. That those are nice words, but they're words. Mm-hmm. And the problem that we have in this state is that we don't develop policies that we stick with. We're constantly changing. We're constantly getting new teachers from places far away that come and they put in their time. They go back to where they came from with experience, and we wind up with all kinds of debris that they learned how to do, but the next person doesn't learn how to do. So you buy this year, and 3 years from now, yes, it'd be wonderful to have it. Yes, it'd be wonderful to have it. But we have to somehow, in the reform that we look at, we have to figure out how do we develop the policy that actually has real teeth in it. Mm-hmm. That really hunkers down and sticks with what we purchase and makes sure that it does everything it could do. Mm-hmm. It has to stick around for time. And no words that don't have actual facts with them. So I want to see what kinds of suggestions you have in terms of policies and suggestions on how to train the next generation and the next generation. Thank you.
We do need to gavel out with respect to everybody's time, but I bet if we want to continue, I bet you're willing to be here. Yeah. So we will gavel out. It's 10:05, but next Wednesday is going to be pretty busy. We're going to have a presentation by Lower Yukon School District, HB 199, HB 198, HB 15, and HB 5. So we're going to be back to back and scramble, and hopefully we'll get done. So Education Committee will gavel out at 10:05.